Hi, this is Justine. Welcome to my first go at a podcast. This is actually my trial run for a project I've been working on for a while, a fiction, fantasy, wacky kind of little project. And at the moment, we're about 6 weeks away from launching it. What I have here is an AI draft of the first chapter. So we're going to go back and we're working with actors and a proper sound engineer to get everything fixed up. But as I'm new to this, I thought I would upload the trial and, just for a trial for myself. But if anyone by chance does happen to be listening to this, I'd love to have your feedback. If it sounds promising to you, if you have any comments, please give them to me. And also, just my little discussion and experiments about using AI to lay out a project, but actually using actors and real people to finish the project. In other words, I'm using AI as a tool. I'm not using AI to replace humans. And there's a lot of discussions around this, a lot of thoughts around this, a lot of fears around this. So, yeah, I was just wondering what people thought about that. And if they want to know my process, if they want some behinds on this, maybe I will upload some more onto this little trial channel before we get into it. Okay, so the project is called Momentous. As I said, it's kind of a fantasy, not dystopia. It's the antidote to dystopia. And if you like it, if you don't like it, whatever. Here we go. Enjoy or don't enjoy.
Chapter 1: A Princess and a Wish.
Once upon a time, there was a princess named Ayla who lived in a faraway kingdom called the Satisfied Land. There was a lot of sunshine in this little kingdom until exactly 4:14 p.m. each afternoon, when it would start to rain. It rained for exactly 23 seconds and then stopped. After this, a rainbow would appear over the glassy lake that engulfed the center of the country, turning it into a mirror and making the rainbow an entire circle of dazzling color. The elegant swans that lived on the lake were translucent white, and their feathers would reflect the tinted kaleidoscope of the rainbow, turning the entire lake into a mirage of soft revolving color. The swans would then swim in intricate heart-shaped formations, while the birds above would form diamond shapes, singing in symphonic voices. Even the toads were beautiful, with soft dewy green skin, and a single freckle of emerald just above their lip. They wore ties, suits, and top hats, and they loved to tap dance more than anything. Rumpa-tum-tump, the sound would build into a spectacular line of toads wrapping around the lake, dancing in sync. The sunset was more richly colored than you could imagine, and for a moment, the entire population of the little country, people, animals, fish, amphibians, and insects would stop and observe it. The only minuscule sound or movement that existed in these moments was that of the butterflies that loved to stay floating in the air by batting their delicate wings. The nights were even more spectacular, with a sky that looked like black velvet, hand embroidered with billions of tiny white diamonds. Of course, there was always a full moon that was huge and yellow looming on the distant horizon, and sometimes there were two or three. The citizens of the country were satisfied. The country had everything. For example, most of the food they needed fell from trees while they were going about their daily business. Because of this, they never worried about money, and so everybody was able to pursue their profession of choice, and everyone was good at their job because they loved what they did. The currency was flowers. For example, a daffodil was worth $1, a tulip was $2, and fuchsias were worth $5. The buses and trains, which ran on a mixture of the sun and sewage, always arrived on time, cars ran on scented oil and let out fumes such as sandalwood and citrus, but most people rode bicycles or skipped down the street, merrily. There was no rubbish in the country because everything was recyclable, and the grazing animals passed through the streets before dawn each day and ate away any waste such as stems and fallen petals. The paper was made of rice that was given to the animals to eat after it was used. Instead of plastic, dough made of sugar and flour was a common replacement. All of the houses were made of candy and cookies, and because sugar was everywhere, kids weren't interested in sweets and ate all their vegetables for dinner. It was also an accepting society. The Prime Minister, who was called Put-Put, was a dashing dwarf who continued living in his cottage with six tiny but dapper male companions, who made up the country's entire police force. The President, who was called Sajing Boing Boring, was a green woman with purple stripes all over her body. She was the only green person with purple stripes in the land, but nobody dared to ask her why. They were not interested in gossip nor hurting feelings. But the people were not perfect. Every individual had one personality fault and one physical fault unique to them. But at the same time, each person had one brilliant talent and one outstanding physical beauty. For example, the assistant of the princess, whose name was Lupe, had huge ears, but her hair was so black that it shone tones of regal blue and fell in glorious loops to her waist. Nobody noticed her ears because they could only see her beauty. Lupe's personality fault was that she always talked about her hair, and whatever anyone else would say, she listened only long enough to interject a far more incredible story that involved her auspicious locks. But she was perfect for her role as the princess's assistant, and was hand-chosen by the queen exactly because of her particular faults. You see, the queen didn't want to spoil the princess by bringing her up to think she was better than others or that others should be obedient to her. Everybody was appreciated for being unique, not perfect. And what about Princess Ayla? What was her physical fault? Well, she was bald, but her face was so beautiful that nobody noticed. Her other defect, well, that will become apparent as we tell this story. And so, the satisfied land didn't have jealousy nor hate to contend with, only a warm kind of feeling of normality that we call satisfaction. One day Princess Ayla was on her balcony looking out over the satisfied land as another rainfall and sunset rang out another perfectly glorious day, when, suddenly, she thought,
"I'm so bored."
Her thoughts continued to stream.
"Every day, same old sunshine and sunset, rainbows and festive birds flying in formation. I wish something different would happen. For goodness sake, something different, happen."
At that moment, a handsome prince on a fine white horse appeared at the golden gate of the satisfied land. He was the Grand Prince Aiden of Empathy, and he rode his white horse named Roger. Roger trotted on his light hooves, singing in a voice like Frank Sinatra's.
"Do me, do me, do. Da, do, da, da, da."
Immediately, the people in the countryside realized that Prince Yusab had come especially to wed their princess, Ayla, as was written in the ancient scriptures, and began to form a line along the winding roads, throwing flowers at the feet of the handsome prince and proud horse. The birds began to fly and sing a new song of joy. The toads started to tap a new rhythm. The swans began to produce eggs of gold that, according to the legends of wise ancient monks, was the signal that the princess's true love and the next king had arrived. According to tradition, the king and queen only produced a female princess, and that her true love would arrive one day and sweep her off her feet. They would then live happily ever after. Princess Ayla gazed out from her balcony at the festival, and cheers of happiness filled the air. She thought to herself,
"Oh well, maybe I'm not the only one who gets bored, and maybe a wedding will shake things up."
In her mind, she started to plan her wedding, and this cheered her up a bit. But suddenly the birds disappeared, their songs turning into squawks of terror. Little by little, the people stopped their celebration and stared into the distant sky. They could hear a faint buzz sound. The toads stopped dancing, except for a very old toad that was blind and deaf, who continued dancing with great enthusiasm.
"Tap, tap, tap, chew-wop, chew-wop, tap, 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 chew-wop."
Mechanical sounds grinded towards them from the horizon. By now, the handsome Prince Aiden on his white horse had made it to the balcony below Ayla. He moved uncomfortably in his jeweled saddle, and the horse stopped singing. Prince Aiden turned his pale grey blue eyes to the horizon as well. Princess Ayla saw his chiseled profile and looked down at his muscular arms. Any doubts she may have had disappeared. He was not only gorgeous, but he too was bald. She wanted to run down to him, but it was impossible. Something else was happening. The sky darkened as the sun was blocked by millions of military planes shaped like insects, moving towards them. The sound was rising into an unbearable shrill. Inside the palace, Lupe tried to cover her huge ears with her tiny soft hands. She was sure that the planes had come because they'd heard about the beauty of her hair. The only thing she could think to do was brush her glorious locks. The queen and king, the president and prime minister all came out onto the balcony alongside Princess Ayla. All the citizens had flowed out onto the streets with their eyes glued to the planes above, except for the old deaf and dumb toad who continued dancing energetically.
Shoo up, shoo up, shoo up.
Everybody was watching as the grey mosquito and wasp-shaped planes blackened the sky, drawing their guns. Then, they began shooting at the toads.